You know, for the most part, it was all about me following my heart. And like I say, I do this as a practice every 6 months. And I, you know, I would invite everybody listening to stop and take inventory of where you're at.
Renegade Success Coach, episode 23.
Welcome to the Renegade Success Coach Podcast. Discover clever approaches to expand your world and your business with less effort and maximum results. Whether you're an author, speaker, entrepreneur, or simply have a great idea, industry experts will show you how to explode your profits by adding coaching. Now, here's your host, the Renegade Success Coach, Mark Sumpter.
Hello, Renegade Nation. Welcome to another exciting podcast. This is the Renegade Success Coach Podcast. My name is Mark Sumpter, and I'm your host. I'm excited. I'm thrilled today because my guest is Jennifer Martin. Now, Jennifer is actually a consultant and a coach. She runs Zest Business Consulting. She's also an eMyth certified business coach. So I want to welcome Jennifer to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing really well, and I'm super excited to be on your show today. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for taking time out to be with us. But I got to say that we love, love, love here at Renegade Nation to kind of hear a little bit about who our guest is personally. So if you would mind sharing that and then kind of give us a brief overview of where your business is today, that would be great.
Okay. I grew up in Southern California. And I actually had my very first sales job at 9 years old. My parents were kind of tough love. And when I wanted something, they told me I'd have to figure out how to get it. So the first thing I sold at 9 years old was embossed Christmas cards that I sold on my summer vacation in June.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And I know. I think it was that first experience that kind of had me hooked on sales.
Wow.
Well, hooked on sales and horses and troll dolls. You know, what do you like when you're 9 years old?
That's so true.
Yeah. So I guess from that point, I'll say I moved around quite a bit. At 19, I moved on my own to Hawaii to kind of follow this feeling that I had on vacation that I was home. So I've had lots of those types of opportunities in my life where I've just kind of followed the flow. And Hawaii took me to New York City, eventually back to California. And in 1999, after 11 years with a very large worldwide company now called Clear Channel Communications, I kind of did what happened to a lot of folks when they start their own business. I was in corporate America. I found myself in 1998. I was burnt out. I had an ulcer, so I was a little sick. I was working probably 50 or 60 hours a week. I guess the upside was I had a great six-figure income, but the downside was I had absolutely no life.
Wow.
And I was 34, and I thought, I don't think I can do this forever. I mean, thank God I got it at 34. And I thought, I don't think I can do this forever. I have to figure out something new. And the something new for me, I started with the idea of actually finding a new place to live before I even thought about entrepreneurship. I had already started two small companies for myself at that time on the side of my regular business. And I decided to move to Portland, Oregon, and just start new. And that was kind of the beginning of things for me. When I moved to Portland, I reached out to everyone that I had done business with before up in my life and said, does anyone know anyone who can use someone with my skill base? And very, very fortunately, the first gig that I got was about an 8-month contract with Union Pacific Railroad, and I had done some work with them before. So I used my connections to actually get my very first consulting job. And that was the first time, 1999 was the first time I opened the first incarnation of my consulting business. So that was, you know, kind of what kicked it all off for me.
That's pretty cool, especially the part of you starting a business at 9 years old. I mean, wow.
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, it depends what motivates you, and the little inside scoop on that is I really wanted a pogo stick. Do you remember those?
Yes,
I mean,
you'd
have to be older, but, you know, you get on them and you just jump up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents did not think that was something they wanted to buy me. And so they said, if you want it, you figure out how to get it.
Wow.
So,
were your parents entrepreneurs too? Because
yes, I'm laughing because, you know, they had kind of this tough love approach, but they also figured out for themselves that, you know, you really could be anything and you could really do anything. And my father had a tool business, and for a while, import-export. For a while, it just looked like those Snap-on tool guys where he'd go out on a truck and sell to different businesses tools. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there were different variations of that through the years, but that was primarily what he did. My mom did a number of different things. She was a real estate agent for a long time. And so both of them had the entrepreneurial spirit and knew that by owning their own business that they could control their own destinies and really, you know, play a part in what their finances look like based on their own motivation. So yeah, they were both entrepreneurs.
See, I asked this question because it seems like those who are entrepreneurs, I know we always refer to it as an entrepreneurial spirit, but I really truly wonder if there's some sort of a gene that's in there, because my kids are the same way.
Yeah.
They you know, now my parents were not entrepreneurs. They worked for a company. My stepdad, who pretty much, you know, raised me, he worked for a defense contractor, you know, pretty much all his life.
Wow.
And so I know I didn't get it there or where it came from, but my kids, they were stricken by like early on. And
wow.
My daughter, who is now 13, she's had a website that I helped her build. The one summer she had to have this, but she was 9 at the time that this happened.
And
with this website, she's kind of all over the map with what she wants to do. You know, she she videotapes herself, you know, making cupcakes and, you know, different kinds of designs. And she also does like hair stuff. But the thing where she's actually able to make some money was she actually makes these purses, and they're like out of shirts, but they double as like backpacks too.
Cool.
And so she sold a lot of them like at school, like to, you know, to friends. And and so I actually feel like it's more of my business because I think I do like 90% of the work where she just,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She takes all the credit and the pay, but which is fine. But, I just always find that interesting that, you know, that people are that way. So enough about her and, you know, 9-year-old salespeople. when you were in corporate America, I knew you were tired of it. It seems like everybody just finally says, I've had enough. And you decided, I mean, what made you decide that this consulting or coaching thing was something that you wanted to do versus, you know, something else? I mean, you have a really good sales background. Why didn't you choose something outside of consulting?
You know, for me at the time, I won't say there was a lot of thought into it. Really, the thought was around moving to a new city, mm-hmm. a smaller town where people would really enjoy quality of life and not be working 60 hours a week. So the initial drive was, what can I do to keep the money flowing in? I had been a hypnotherapist on the side of my full-time job for about 2 years prior to that. I had, in my late teens, owned a concierge business, mostly doing errands for wealthy people, and, you know, had probably 15 experiences in sales. But for me, it was just an opportunity to, I hate to say take the easy way, but I wanted to make sure when I arrived in Portland that I didn't have to start by looking for a job. And that's how it started. So it was a little bit unintentional in that I just wanted to make the best use of my skill base and my talents and, you know, just reach out to people I knew. So that's how it started, you know, and then it kind of evolved from there. Over the last 15 years, my business has taken kind of 4 different turns, and I've done a few other things. I've owned 5 other businesses in the interim. So it's kind of like I in my own life, about every 6 months, I have something. It's my own little kind of way of staying on track of the things that make sense for me. And I call it recommit or reinvent, then recommit.
I love that.
So what I, Yeah. So what I mean, it's really simple. I just kind of take a look at my life and my business, and I take a really practical approach to it. What are the pros and cons? You know, am I having fun? Is there something missing here? I mean, it's a very, very practical approach. And if I've lost that loving feeling, then I'll reinvent a little bit. For the most part, that just means doing a little bit of fine tuning. And that's kind of even what brought me to my business with Zest Business Consulting was I had been working for a couple years for eMyth. I was an employee of theirs doing business development coaching. So I was teaching their 120 plus processes and systems to their clients. And when they changed their business model and decided that they didn't want to have any in-house business coaches anymore, all of us 32 some odd people were asked to become independent contractors. And that was just this great opportunity for me to stop and think about, who do I love working with? What are some of the most fun challenges that I like to come up across? And what do I feel that I have personally to bring to the table at this venture? And for me at that time, I was having great fun working for eMyth, but because the whole door got busted open and I got a chance to completely reinvent, it gave me the chance to really think about what's important to me this time around. I had five businesses that I bought, turned around, and sold myself. I helped hundreds of business owners before, and I really got to have some clarity that this time around, Zest Business Consulting was all going to be around helping small business owners figure out what they needed to do to grow their business so that their business would be financially rewarding, but I was not going to lose sight of making sure that the business owners were having fun, that they were doing what was meaningful for them, and that along this road of growth and, you know, financial success, that they would never lose sight of, you know, what people call work-life balance. And that's the whole thing that Zest is about. It's about having a great, successful business, but not, you know, not letting that business suck the life out of you. Letting you actually be in your joy and your bliss and your fun while you're doing it.
So I'm curious, because it's very clear that you're definitely an example, that you're leading, you know, by example when you're working with small business owners. But I'm curious to know, when you mentioned that, you know, that your business had taken some turns and you had to reevaluate and then reinvent what you were doing, mm-hmm. did any of those circumstances mm-hmm. have to do with the economy or, you know, something that was environmental, or was this more of an internal thing for you based on, I don't like that anymore, I'm going to go do something else?
You know, for the most part, it was all about me following my heart. And like I say, I do this as a practice every 6 months. And I, you know, I would invite everybody listening to stop and take inventory of where you're at. You know, so yes, sometimes we make changes based on the economy or the success we're having in our business. And other times we just get the joy of reinventing for the sake of doing what we love. And so, you know, because I've owned so many businesses at this point, I will say that I take calculated risks. But even, you know, so my business, Zest Business Consulting, was started in, I want to say, roughly February, March of 2013. And I've just come through this reinvention, this kind of reinvention period myself. And I'm now thinking about, what do I want to do differently in 2015? And so a part of that is based on the amount of time that I want to be spending working. And it also is based on the fact that I want to be able to reach out and connect with many, many more people than I had been. So in a one-on-one coaching model, I would say I tend to be between 80 and 100% booked. But there's a finite number of people that I can work with one-on-one. And so part of my 2015 plan is to be doing not only many, many more groups so that I can work with lots of people at the same time, but also to kind of take my show on the road. And I'm going to be introducing some new opportunities. One is a conscious business owner camp. So it's going to be retreats for business owners. And then the other is I'm putting together a program, and these are totally worked around what I love. So I'm a big traveler. So the conscious business owner camps are going to happen a couple times a year at some really exciting spots around the world. And then I'm also doing a program to help people get out of overwhelm and overwork and workaholics, to help them figure out as business owners, what do they need to do differently so that they can actually take a vacation. And it's basically 6 months to your next vacation. And at the end of the 6 months, we're all taking a vacation and we're going to go on a cruise. And people can bring their families and the kids and everybody else, and we'll have a couple days of, you know, light kind of work, but the rest of it is just going to be for pleasure. So it's kind of a way of reinventing what I do to serve what's fun for me right now. Taking lots of vacations.
So you are like the ultimate sort of free spirit coach here. I mean, I'm like listening to your story and the places you've gone, and you've lived in some remarkable places, Portland being one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love Portland.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're doing like all these cool things, and you're also one of the 5% of the coaches who actually realize and get the fact that they should be doing group coaching. And you know, it's interesting because I had this conversation with tons of coaches, and I talk about this because it's really my work, my desire to teach as many coaches as I can to add that group coaching component to their business. And I find that so many are so resistant to it, saying, I'm not going to reduce myself to, you know, $100 an hour or $50 an hour just to help someone. And then when I kind of show them the math, that it makes complete sense that not only should you be doing it, but your business will grow as a result of it as well. And then and then all the other avenues that it opens up for you, then they go, oh, but you know, but there are some who still are resistant to it, and that's okay. But I'm excited to know that you're doing this, and I can't wait to find out what else you're going to be doing in the future. So I would love to, if we could, at some point have you back again.
Yeah, that would be great fun. Okay. Yeah, I'm always doing interesting things.
Good.
To
so
me.
I'm excited that I got you to commit to coming back on the podcast. So that's cool. I want to talk about, if we could, a little bit. You know, you mentioned that you worked for eMyth and you were a certified business coach with them, because, you know, certifications with people come up a lot. And I'm kind of curious to know, like, your opinion about being certified, not being certified. What's your thoughts?
You know, goodness, that's a tough one. I think that, you know, when it comes to coaches, there is, you know, every color of the rainbow and all the jelly beans represented. You know, it's kind of like every flavor's out there. Mm-hmm. And as far as the certification goes, there are some places that have some great certification courses. And then there's also that some places that have total mediocre certification courses. And I don't find that those programs even begin to reflect the quality of the coaches themselves. So, you know, before I joined eMyth as an employee of theirs, I had already owned 5 businesses. I had already been a consultant for, at that point, probably 11 or 12 years. So what I brought to the table with them before I had any formal consulting skills was already a great deal of life experience. I became certified through working for them as an employee and actually being indoctrinated into their program. Like I say, I took the first 4 months and I was in eMyth school, and literally for 20 to 40 hours a week for 4 months, I learned their business development lessons. So I did put in my dues. They now have a training program for coaches that you don't have to, you know, they don't have employee coaches. So it's a little different door than I walked in. Mm-hmm. You know, so they do have an opportunity to have people learn their processes. I will say, I feel like my skill base was enhanced by being a part of their organization. I still have an affiliation with them. I still have some eMyth clients. And then, you know, on the other side, I have a whole slew of people that I work with outside the eMyth model through my own business, through Zest. So I guess in short, to your, you know, to your answer to your question, For some people, they probably will already have enough experience to bring to the table to be able to really rely on that leading the way for them. And for others, if they don't have a formal background and a lot of personal experience in working with hundreds of business owners creating success, then, you know, certification is a great way to go. And I do know, you know, some people are really attracted to it. And I've worked with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and all the way down to solopreneurs who might be a massage therapist or, you know, a chiropractor working for themselves. And there are all different people. Some of them couldn't care less. They have one conversation with me and they just say, you know, I'm feeling like you're my person. And other ones will want me to send them a whole resume, a background, and they want to talk to three different, you know, references of mine. So, you know, it's here and there. I can't say there's one size that fits all.
Okay. I was always I'm curious to know what other coaches think. I have my opinions. I think there's a time and place for certifications in certain industries and then others. I just don't see the need that you should, you know, run out and go get one, especially if you have tons of experience, like you just mentioned, you know, in that particular area. So I was just curious to know. If we could, I want to talk about Zest Consulting, if we could do that for a little bit.
Sure.
So when you decided to start this, because everyone's curious about that first client, and I know that you mentioned that you put the word out to people that if you know of anyone who is in need of my services, would you please let me know? Was there a struggle for you to actually reach out to your friends, you know, and make that request, or were you able to do it just no problem?
Well, you know, so we're talking about 1998 and I was leaving this corporate job. Right. And at that time, my business was called Martin Consulting because I wasn't very creative at that point. And Martin's my last name. You know, at that point, it was really that financial motivator. Like I say, I had a very strong six-figure salary. So I was accustomed to having nice money flowing in, and I liked it. And so for me, the motivator was, you know, would it be uncomfortable for me to reach out to people who I might have been sitting on the other side of the table from in negotiations, and we might not have liked each other during those negotiations? Sure. Yes, it was a challenge. But the motivation of having financial freedom was way bigger for me than the minor embarrassment or being uncomfortable or not, you know, feeling entirely confident at that time. So I reached out probably to six different organizations. And of the six different organizations, keep in mind, I negotiated contracts for a living with Clear Channel. So I was sitting on the other side of the table, not making those other people very happy. But when I brought up to them that you could have me working for you, and they knew enough about interacting with me over, you know, 11 years, they knew I was tough, but they knew I was fair. They knew I had integrity. So they knew enough about my character to know whether or not they'd find it of value to have someone like me on their team. And so of the six people that I reached out to, it resulted in two jobs that kept me busy for about 8 months. And I didn't have to look for work. And back then it was consulting. So different than coaching, I was taking a gig that might last for 3 months or 6 months where I was doing full-time work, completing a project. So it was a little different, you know, a little different model in those days. But my first six calls landed me 8 months worth of business.
Could you sort of tell us the difference between consulting versus coaching?
I can tell you my version.
Okay, sure.
I'd be happy to. So for me in the beginning, when I started my consulting business, it was about problem solving. You know, what problem do you have? How can I come into your environment, your work, your business? How I want to provide a solution. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd have to do a bit of an analysis before I'd be in a position to provide a solution. And then how could I help you and your team implement that solution so that would create the change that you wanted? And so I was coming into other people's business as an expert in business development, saying, tell me about your problem. Let me take a look at the whole picture. You know, let me take that 30,000 foot view. Sometimes that, like I say, that involved doing a lot more research, sitting down one-on-one with people. And then let me bring a few possibilities to the table to help you solve this problem. And once I would get the buy-off on, well, we like your idea about from this, what would that look like? Then we'd set a step-by-step strategy for how I could integrate that into what they were already doing. And so I would basically be the person to identify the possibility, suggest some, you know, some solutions for them, and take them, sometimes take them by the hand, sometimes push them along, and sometimes pull them with all my might to get to them to reinvent the way that they were doing things in that particular area so that they would wind up with the result that they want. And so that that consulting model was a little different than maybe a traditional coaching model, where a traditional coaching model is based on, you've got a problem, I'm going to ask you about it, I'm going to talk to you about what have you tried so far, what's working, what are you going to think, you know, might be the next thing that you can do here, and then I'm going to talk through with you those possibilities. And so, you know, it's two different avenues to travel down, hopefully to do the same thing, which is to solve a problem. With the consulting, I was a little bit more, you know, hands-on, feet on the ground, you know, running along with them and doing a little bit more work. Okay. I would say right now in my own business, where I think that I'm a little bit unique is I can bring to the table that consulting part. So if my clients say, I can't figure out how to get more clients, I could say to them, hey, would you like to hear what's worked for most of my clients in the past? And my goodness, I could probably ramble off 35 different opportunities right off the top of my head to help them, you know, look at what is going to be the best way to open up some of those avenues for clients to flow into your business. And then I'll work with them more through the coaching on, you know, which one of these sounds interesting to you and what might that look like. And then we'll break it, really break it down to bite-sized pieces so that they can actually get it done.
Okay. So I know that one of the questions that I always get from, you know, people who write me and say, Mark, you know, you didn't ask this question, so I'm going to ask you this question regarding getting clients. So very clear that launching this business, that you reached out to your circle of influence and said, here I am. Do you know anybody that needs, you know, some assistance? And it panned out for you. Are there some other things that you're doing, Jennifer, that right now helps to sort of feed your funnel to keep, you know, new leads coming into your business?
Yes. Yes, there are. Yeah. I mean, I'm no bit different than any of my clients. I have a small business that some of my clients will come aboard for, you know, a 2-hour session, and others will be with me for a full year. I have three clients who have been with me for 3 years. Bless them. You know, awesome. But, you know, like any other service-based business, I need to continually connect with new potential clients. So there are probably, I'm going to just throw out maybe 15 things that I am doing consistently. Some require more effort than others. And then there are other things that I do on the side. Okay. So I'm going to give you kind of a little down and dirty laundry list of things that I do on a regular
basis. I love it. They want to hear it for sure.
Yeah. So I do free speaking gigs, but I'm very specific about who I do them with and when I do them and how I do them. Okay. So I'm only going to do those freebies in opportunities, in places where I have an opportunity to actually be in front of a number of potential clients for myself.
Okay.
So I'm very specific about where I go. You know, same thing for webinars. I think I've got a webinar at the end of the month to a group of business women in Australia. I mean, I have a web-based business, so my clients are all over the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have that great flexibility. So speaking gigs are a big one. The other ones might be, I have a lot of what people would call affiliates or strategic partners or referral partners.
Okay.
So, do I need to go into that at all, or do you think your group is
No, I think they get that. Your other coaches or other entrepreneurs who help to promote what you're doing.
You got it. Yeah. Some of them get a kickback. Some of them I have reciprocal arrangements with. That's the number one way that I get leads, is through referrals from usually other business owners. Okay. Other things I do, I'm continually updating my online presence. And there's a whole slew of things I'm going to do under, you know, what I'm going to call online marketing or technology-based marketing. So everything from, you know, blog posts on my own website to adding more content to maybe creating a splash page, getting more backlinks. I mean, it's ongoing. I don't spend a ton of time with social media. I do spend a little bit of time with social media. For 2015, I'm probably going to add some paid social media opportunities. So that's where I'm looking to maybe invest a little money with Google AdWords. You know, I've been kind of exploring and talking to my contacts about, you know, Yelp versus Google versus Facebook. And I'm constantly learning so that I can stay on top of things for my clients. So that's a new angle. Obviously, being on shows like yours, it's a great way for me to get out and connect with new people. I am frequently contacted by reporters to be a reference in their articles. So I actually get contacted occasionally from somebody who says, oh, I read this piece that you contributed to for Esquire, or I saw that you gave this is a real thing. This month in October in Inc. magazine, there was an article that was written that basically asked two business coaches to weigh in on someone's dilemma. And this someone had a small business. They were trying to decide, where do I open my next location? And so I was asked to come in and give a recommendation to this business owner.
Okay.
And so I get a lot of those opportunities to kind of promote myself in a public relations different ways. Let's see what else. I do a lot of Chamber of Commerce presentations at various Chambers of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So that's, I wouldn't say that I am a part of my local Chamber of Commerce, but I actually live in a town of 8,500. So that's an opportunity for me just to stay connected to my community.
Okay.
But I do go out to other Chambers of Commerce. Same thing with economic development centers, with, business incubators. So I try to go to places where my clients or potential clients might actually be. And I'm sure that there are a bunch more, but I don't know if we should keep rolling with this, but you know, if people are curious, call me or email or get on my newsletter or something. I'm always posting about tips, through social media. I'm always posting about tips that help small business owners connect with more clients. That's a big part of what I'm excited about sharing.
That's awesome. And it's really cool because you're doing some really good stuff that I know, one, is working, and two, is definitely making your business profitable. So congratulations to you for doing those things.
Thank you.
So we're curious, though. I would love to know from you, where do you see your business? And I know you talked about this briefly, but I'm curious to know, where do you see your business and I don't know, in 5 years, what does that look like for you?
I'm laughing because, I just told you I reinvent every 6 months. And I won't say that I completely reinvent. You know, the reinvention might be, hey, I don't want to work on Thursdays anymore and I'll take that day off. So it might be a mild thing. In 2014, I didn't work Fridays. I left Fridays open because I was doing a lot of traveling. And so, you know, that was my thing for 2014. But as far as 5 years from now, I see a lot more collaboration happening. And right now I'm kind of keeping my eyes and my ears open to create relationships, more strategic relationships with other people like yourself and, you know, other people who are doing related work to help me grow this concept that I have of conscious business owner camps. And I'm really seeing that being a big driving force of my business to kind of create this movement to help people in business thrive in the new business paradigm. And I see that, you know, we all notice how quickly technology changes.
Yes.
You know, what worked for us in business even 3 years ago. I mean, even say last year, you know, I think last year, Facebook changed the way its algorithms run. And now even you, even though you might have 3,000 people, 3,000 fans or 3,000 likes, you put up a post and, you know, 22 people see it.
Yeah.
So what I really want to help people do is not only stay on top of how technology is changing, but from a bigger standpoint, I'm calling it conscious or enlightened business owners, on a bigger standpoint, you know, really help shepherd them into the next version of what business, successful business is going to look like and continue to evolve. And I've been tracking, you know, in an average year, I come in contact with a couple hundred business owners, where I'm in some type of teaching capacity or one-on-one coaching with them. And I've been tracking their success for years, you know, on and off for 15 years. And I have noticed that there's a few things that the people who are having great success, there's a few things that set them apart from the rest of the group. You know, it's kind of the cream. There's a few things that are setting them apart right now. And that's what I'm excited to share. Is what are those things that are creating success for, you know, for a handful of business owners? Because they, those same things are available to every business owner if they just know, you know, if they know what the recipe is.
That's awesome. So we at Renegade Nation, we're nosy. we don't hide that fact. So I ask a lot of questions because we want to know. So we're always curious, Jennifer, to know what a successful coach is reading. So I know you've got something either in that Kindle or on that nightstand, you know, that you're reading. And so we would love if you could share maybe a favorite book or a couple. Sounds like you're probably an avid reader, so you may have a few. We would love to know what it is that you're reading that's sort of helping you with your success.
Sure. These are my top four right now.
I knew it was more than one.
Yeah. It's never one with me. So I really love a book called The Pumpkin Plan. Okay. The next one is called Traction. A great place to revisit, or if you're in the beginnings of business, The $100 Startup. And my newest addition to my top three is my fourth one, which is called Right Brain Business Plan.
Cool. So that's currently your favorite? Or do you have a favorite?
This is going to sound like a really weird all-time favorite, but my really weird all-time favorite business book is not a business book at all. It's a book called The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Yes. Yes.
And it's just a book about knowing that you're going to be in the right place in the right time and to really follow your heart. And I think that's my all-time favorite business book.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it is truly a great business book. And I've had several coaches who've mentioned or talked about this book and they hold it in such high regard. So I know that it's good. And it's actually on my list of books to read. And my list, unfortunately, keeps growing and growing and growing because with every interview, I at least get one book. And of course, you just made my life even worse by offering up like four or five. So,
uh-oh.
That's okay, yeah. Though. That's okay. That's okay. It's going to make for some good reading. So I'm excited about that. So you've had, you know, really, truly, not only just a remarkable business journey, but it's been fun too. I mean, you get to travel the world and you've lived in some remarkable places. I mean, is this kind of what coaching has done for you, allowed you to be able to do these things?
This is exactly what coaching has done for me. It's given me the freedom to create a business that completely supports every aspect of who I am and what I enjoy doing. And so, you know, I honestly couldn't imagine anything more satisfying than what I do now, which is helping people move closer and closer to their visions and their dreams. But the fact that I get to reinvent and, you know, like you say, travel. I mean, I just got back from a 2.5-week trip to Japan. It was for pleasure. And I don't think that, You know, I probably take 3 vacations a year for pleasure and a number. Next week, I'm going to work in Minneapolis for a week. And, you know, that's for business. And so I couldn't imagine anything more fun than exactly what I'm doing right now.
What? So you mean that, you know, being 34 and having an ulcer wasn't the ideal fun for you?
No, I'm ulcer free.
Well, that's good to know. And you should be, because if you were not, then something's wrong. You just have such a remarkable life. So,
yeah. And I'm all about, I've done it the hard way. I mean, I've owned 5 businesses. Those are not including 4 incarnations of my own consulting business. So no matter how tough a business owner thinks that they have it, I guarantee I have been there. But what I also know is there's a way out. There's a recipe to having a life you love that's meaningful, having a business that's thriving, and taking vacations, spending time with family, paying off your bills. You can have it all if you know the recipe of what to do.
Which is a great segue into my next question. And that is, you know, look, those that are listening right now they're entrepreneurs who know that they should either be involved in coaching or they should be adding coaching to their existing businesses, you know, or they are coaches who are stagnant, you know, a lot of them are successful, but, you know, they want to add that extra something to their business. So my question is, what advice would you give people that are listening right now? I mean, you've gone through the school of hard knocks. You know what that's like. Do you have something that you would offer them that would help them with their journey?
Probably nothing that they haven't heard before, but I'll kind of give you my quickie 2 cents.
Sure.
If you have 6 months worth of finances to support you on your new venture, awesome, go for it. If you don't quit your day job. The last thing that any new business owner needs is additional stress from not having enough money to pay their bills. So I'm not going to say don't move forward with your dream. Absolutely move forward with your dream. Just make sure that you're not adding financial stress to the package of starting a new business. Obviously, do your homework. I'd say, you know, research the heck out of this new business opportunity, whatever that looks like for you. Make sure you've got a feel for what your competition looks like. You know, if it's a business like mine, where I'm competing against every business consultant, you know, in the World Wide Web, I'm obviously not going to be found unless I spend quite a bit of time, money, and energy on my website, but I can find a niche. I can be the most easy to find business coach in San Francisco, which still there's probably 30,000 of us. Where I am right now in Ojai, and I probably could dominate here with a good website. So figure out where you really want to call your niche, and that's unto itself. Who do you want to be working with? How do you want to be working with them? I have people do, this is probably a lot, but I have them do the money math before they take that leap of faith. Mm-hmm. They know that they want to be a coach, but like you were saying, you know, what's it going to take to make that worth your while? And I love that you're working with people on explaining to them the group concept. My rates fluctuate depending on which door you walk in to find me. Mm-hmm. eMyth charges a lot more for my time than I might on my own. But I also want to make sure, for me, I love working with small business owners. And there's some, you know, I had a new client who started with me 2 weeks ago who's a energy healer. Well, she wasn't going to be able to come in the eMyth door because it wasn't going to be cost effective for her.
Right.
But she was able to come in for a 2-hour special and a group, some group work. So I have kind of an entry model where people can come into a group for 6 weeks that will help them fine tune what they need to do with marketing. It's only $395.
Oh, that's very reasonable.
So someone might say, hey, when, you know, like I say, people get charged different amounts, mm-hmm. Without getting into rates, you know, I have entry level rates and I have rates that go all the way up for certain groups. They're paying $750 an hour for my time.
Wow.
But because I like to work with small business owners, that $750 an hour rate is not going to be friendly for everyone. So I want to make sure that I'm accessible. So back to what should they do? Figure out who you want to work with. How do you want to work with them? And then do your, you know, do your money math. What do you need to earn on a monthly basis net to make this worth your while? And then figure out how many clients it's going to take to make that happen. And, you know, where do your rates need to be? So I, you know, that's really the best advice is don't take a, you could take a leap of faith, but I would have you take a calculated leap of faith, you know, do a lot of research, do your homework, figure out where you need to be financially, really have some clarity about what your niche is going to be. If the more streamlined that is, the easier it's going to be for you to become an expert. Figure out who your competitors are, what are they doing, and, you know, really what makes you unique. And yes, this is an awful lot of stuff to do before you open the door for your business. But once you do open the door for your business, when you start talking about what you do, it's going to make a lot easier for your clients to know you're the person for them. So,
well, I know you said that you know, it was going to be your 2 cents, but that was like more like a nickel's worth of advice. So thank you for doing that. Jennifer,
sure.
Well, Jennifer, what's the best way that people can connect with you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is Zest with a Z, zestbusinessconsulting.com. They can email me, first initial, last name, J Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, at zestbusinessconsulting.com, or they're welcome to give me a call directly at area code 805-669-7160.
And don't forget, Renegade Nation, links to everything of value that Jennifer's mentioned will be on today's show notes episodes page. You just need to go to renegadesuccesscoach.com. You can click on the podcast tab. There you'll be able to find her. Or just plug her name into the search bar. Might be the easiest way. Just Jennifer Martin, and her show notes page will pop up. There you will find her contact information, her phone number, as well as those valuable links to the books that she mentioned as well. And so it'll all be there. So Jennifer, I love listening to your story. What a remarkable journey. It's been fun. It's been inspiring. And I know that people enjoyed it as well. And so I want to thank you for, you know, just taking the time out to sit down with us and to chat and to share your experience. I look forward to talking to you in the very near future.
Thank you so much, Mark. I had great fun and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that session of Renegade Success Coach Podcast. I'm Mark Sumpter, and I know how valuable your time is, and I really appreciate you spending it here. Look, if you want to join Renegade Nation, where you can share ideas with myself and other entrepreneurs that you've heard on the podcast, come on over to renegadesuccesscoach.com/launch and get in on the contest that we're running. You can win a ticket to one of my private events with other successful entrepreneurs that I'll be hosting. You might even score a private strategy session as well. Again, the website is renegadesuccesscoach.com/launch, and I'll see you there.